Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. Always here for the full four with you. Don't forget, we ask you to download the Radio.com app. That is, of course, how you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. We know you're not spending as much time there with, you know, working remotely and doing different things like that. So when you're not in your vehicle, make sure to have the Radio.com app handy. Have that on your device. You've got your phone, right? You got your smartphone. You got your smart speakers, right? You've got your tablet. You've got your Commodore 64. You've got your Sega Genesis. You got your Walkman, right? You got all these different devices. Put it on your LaserDisc, Coleco, whatever you have for a device. Just make sure that you put it on there so you can always catch us on the go. Social media for the station, it's all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all of the different platforms. As always, the best way to be a part of our show would be through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself. You can reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. 316. That, of course, is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Of course, still sitting around waiting for the guy who was arguing with me about Stanford, how things are different at their university and nothing will be affected. And still waiting for that guy to hit me back up on Twitter and say, man, Chuck, you were right. Anyway, he's back in Midtown producing the show. As always, Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So lots to get into with you here this evening. Peter Moylan will join us, Braves commentator. Of course, I've been part of the Fox Sports South broadcast. Talk some Braves baseball with him coming up actually in the next segment, and then we'll replay him a little bit later on this evening for you as Braves continue. I guess what, another inter-squad scrimmage today. I saw the Travis d'Arnaud home run that he hit. So Braves, you know, getting their work in and trying to get some things figured out as we creep closer and closer to the opening day, July 24th. Of course, the Braves will be up in Gotham for all that, taking on the Mets. So we'll talk to him coming up next. Of course, we've got a let me first say, by the way, too, I'm a little bit in pig slop heaven because before the show started, when I got home, I had to go by the grocery store and just get a couple quick things. And I said, let me get a small packet of wings. Because I love this air fryer, man. I am loving and digging this air fryer. I got me a small pack of Purdue wings. There's like, what, six in there or something like that? You know, the whole wing thing. They got the drumstick in the wing part. You know, so it's the whole piece. Six of those in the air fryer. Cooked those bad boys up, Jarvis. Shook them in the Carolina mustard sauce. And ate those bad boys up and washed it down with a Red Rock ginger ale. So I'm in pig slop heaven after all of that, man. That's Yeah, that's good eating right there. Carolina mustard wings, Red Rock ginger ale. Another Carolina company, by the way, right? I think Red Rock's based out of, aren't they based out of North Carolina, or is that Cheerwine I'm thinking about? Maybe, I thought Red Rock was out of North Carolina as well, but nothing like Red Rock ginger ale. That's some good stuff with a good bite to it. So I'm in pig slop heaven. But we did get one. We've gotten lots of big announcements, actually. So we'll get into the Big Ten's decision coming up at 8 o'clock. Because there is a really big loser in all of this today that is sort of talked about, but not enough, I think. We'll talk about this whole fallout and where we're headed and other conferences. Greg Sankey has spoken, blah, 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 blah. We'll do that at the top of the hour so we can invest some time into it. Now, we watched last night as the MLS back tournament got kicked off. Today, another team is out. So Nashville SC, after they had 9 positive tests, they have pulled out of the tournament. So the Chicago Fire will go from Group A to Group B, and now with 24 teams, you have all 6 groups with 4 teams apiece in it. So, you know, obviously it's a shame, you know, what has happened. You know, I don't know. I mean, when you have that many guys and you deplete your roster that much, you know, just like Dallas had 10 and this, that, and the other, I get it. You know, because you got to quarantine those guys and keep them away. So when you have that many guys, it's tough to actually field a competitive roster. So I get it. You know, I understand completely what those teams are going through out there. So Nashville pulls itself out of this tournament, and, you know, now we're down to 24. If you will. Now we're down to the final 24 teams, for lack of a better way to come up with this. So that was one piece of news that we got. We also got another piece of news today, as Corey Foreman. Okay, now who is he? Well, he's a defensive end out of Corona, California. Played at Centennial High School in Corona, California. Why am I bringing him up? Well, number one is he is the nation's number one overall recruit. So for the class of 2021, he is the number one overall recruit in the country. Okay? Well, he committed to Clemson, except for one thing. Dabo Swinney has a no-trip policy for committed players. The policy is that if players who are committed to the program, they can't take trips to check out other schools. So, Foreman, who had committed to Clemson, has now decommitted from Clemson and is now back on the, you know, tour. Now, Clemson is still in the mix, okay? So it's not a done deal, fait accompli, all right? But he has opened his recruiting back up. Southern Cal, no shock. Obviously, he's a California kid. They're in the mix. Oregon, not really a shock. West Coast kid. You know, that's a glamour program out there. Alabama, LSU, no surprise there. Defensive U, right? And the final team, the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, I don't know what the realistic possibility is. Okay, but this is coming right from Foreman, that Clemson, Southern Cal, Georgia, Oregon, Alabama, and LSU are the schools that he's looking at. Okay, now, is he coming to Georgia? I don't know. Could he come to Georgia? Sure. Do I think he's coming to Georgia? Probably not. But it's never bad news when the nation's top recruit has you on his short list of 6 schools. One of them, he's already decommitted from. Okay? So obviously, there is room and hope that he'll flip a decision. I mean, again, he could end up at Clemson at the end of the day and all of this, you know, was moot or, you know, what have you. But Wouldn't you think if he was that committed to Clemson and he knows the policy and this, that, and the other, and that's really where he wanted to play, he'd have said, you know what, I'm good. Let me just stay at Clemson and we'll go on. So my personal guess would be that this is a five-team race with Georgia, Southern Cal, Oregon, Alabama, LSU. I'm going to put Clemson sixth on that list because there wasn't really a reason that he needed to decommit. If he's already committed to Clemson, that's really where he wanted to play. And I get going and looking at other schools, but if you know going in that if you commit to Clemson and then you want to go look at other schools, Dabo's going to, you know, look for a decommit. I mean, if you know all that going in, which I don't think he'd have been blindsided by all of that, okay, then I'm taking Clemson out of the mix and I'm putting them sixth on this list. So that's good news for Georgia. You know, I don't know how it turns out, but this is what we talked about with Kirby Smart. And if you are going to get to that level of where Ohio State or Clemson or Alabama, you know, if you're going to get to that top of that mountain, well, the first thing you got to do is bring in the players. And there's been all the studies done about, you know, the average national champion has this many five stars, this many four stars, right? I mean, they've done all that work, and you've got to have X amount of guys that are four and five stars. The average national champion has X amount of guys, okay? So recruiting is the lifeblood and the lifeline of your program. You got to have players coming in and out every year. You're going to have kids leaving. You got to have kids ready to step in. And you need talented kids. Not just, well, he's been on campus for 4 years and he's, you know, an overachiever. You got to have talent. You got to have the best of the best. Does that mean when you're number one recruit in the nation and you come on campus, things are going to work out? No. Doesn't mean anything. But sometimes when you're, I don't know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, and you're like the two highest rated players in the country, and you go on campus, sometimes it does work out. Sometimes it does work out to where the two best players in college football were also, you know, at the same time, the two best high school football players in America. Sometimes that works itself out. Sometimes it doesn't. But better to go and try to recruit the number one kid in the nation than to say, nah, we're good. We'll pass on the talent like that. Who knows what this kid's going to be? I don't know. I don't really, you know, unless he comes to Georgia, I'm not going to be super invested in it. Hope he does well. I hope he's the greatest college football player of all time as far as that goes. But good to see Georgia in the mix on the very short list, especially, of where this kid is looking at. Because he didn't say Oklahoma. He didn't say Ohio State. He didn't say Penn State, Michigan, Notre Dame. There's a lot of schools. Didn't say Auburn. A lot of schools, Tennessee, Florida, Florida State, Florida, a lot of schools he could have thrown into the mix. But outside the school he just decommitted from, he listed only five schools. And I'm guessing it's only those five at this point. And Georgia being one of them. That's a big deal. Imagine if they land a kid like this, you know, be a real feather in the cap for, you know, what Kirby Smart is obviously trying to build at the University of Georgia. So, look, like I said, don't know where it's going to lead, but you love the fact that Georgia is right there in the mix for all of this, right there where they need to be. If you're going to be one of the top guys in one of the big dogs in all of this, you know, you got to be going after those types of players out there. So. Lots to get into, as we said here. We'll get hot and heavy in this college football story because there's a lot of tentacles, you know, to this with the Ohio State announcement, you know, coming up, you know, earlier today. So we'll definitely get into to all of that. So and all the usual suspects will be here. Jarvis is out tomorrow night, so we may. Who is it? Dylan or is it Marshall? Do you know Jarvis tomorrow night? That's part of the. Okay, so the schedule's out. We're trying to see who the fill-in producer is for tomorrow. One of those guys texted me. I forgot to look and see who it was. I didn't see if it was Dylan or if it was Marshall. So we will have a substitute, and we'll see if we can get them to put together a rank'em list. I have my doubts, but we will give the, as the Ghostbuster said, we are ready to believe you. All right, Peter Moylan coming up next. Talk some Braves baseball with him. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game, back at it with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out on this Thursday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to leave us a comment there, of course, download the radio.com app to make sure that you can catch us on the go and be able to listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. Social media at 929 The Game. Follow myself at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, Braves continue to get it going down at Truist Park. I'd laugh too. My daytime company, we made a delivery down to Ed Mangum today for some stuff. And Braves are getting back at it. Another inner squad scrimmage today. Out to the WadeFort.com hotline we go. Former Braves pitcher and now current Braves analyst for Fox Sports South, Peter Moylan is joining us here. You can follow Peter on Twitter. It's at Peter Moylan. Peter, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes here with us tonight.
Of course. It's my pleasure. I've got, I haven't had a lot on my plate lately, so this is fun. This is good.
Yeah, are you a golfer, Peter? Are you a big-time golfer? Have you been able to get some of that kind of work in, you know, in these down times?
I am a golfer. I've played a little bit. Early on, it was a little harder than I expected, but
yeah.
I've also got a six-year-old now, so she keeps me pretty busy during the day, and I like to sneak out. She's actually started playing golf at Topgolf too, so it's been a good trying time, but it's been a good time.
Well, they say good things come to those who wait, Peter, and we're finally getting closer and closer. We assume, let's keep it positive and say that we assume that everything is going to take place coming up here toward the end of the month. You know, Peter, we've been talking on this show particularly about Mike Soroka and Max Fried. And Mike Soroka, to me, looks like that next ace. And the Braves have really looked for that guy since, you know, the holy trio of Hall of Famers has left this organization. Tell me about your thoughts about Mike Soroka and what is it about him that impresses you so much?
Man, he's poised. Everybody says it. Everybody talks about his maturity, and you know, he's. If you listen to his interview and the way that he talks about the way that he pitches and he talks about at bats, and he's just a guy that's way ahead of his time, and or he's well beyond his years, I should say. But if you have a conversation with a guy, you can actually tell that he's just a mature kid who's come from a great family, great home, and he knows how to pitch. Him at the front of that rotation with Max Fried and Fulton Evich, we spoke to Snit today, and he talked about how good Mike Fulton Evich looked today. And I know he's looking to have a bounce-back year, albeit a short one. So I'm encouraged about the top of the rotation that the Braves are going to have for a long, long time. And you just look at the farm system too. I don't even want to rat off names because there's too many of them, but that farm system is loaded with arms. This is going to be a team of pitching like it has been in the past, and I can't wait to watch what they do over the next few, 3, 4, 5 years, not just this year.
You know, Peter, it's interesting. You know, you brought up Mike Fulton-Evich, and we've talked about him as well, because does it feel like, though, it's hard to gauge? I mean, you know, we thought he turned the corner, had that all-star appearance, and everything looked like, okay, here's the next dominant guy, and things are finally clicking. And then injuries and things like that, and then people started getting into mentally what's wrong with him and this, that, and the other. But it feels like he could go one of two ways. Either there could be that hangover for how it ended, and maybe it just doesn't come out right, or my hope is he has a real chip on his shoulder because of what happened, and he comes out and proves to everybody how good he is, you know, that how good his talent matches his on-field results.
I'd be putting my money on the latter if I was a betting man. I know what kind of personality he's got, and it's a fiery one. There's no doubt about it. He wears his heart on his sleeve. But when you're sitting one-on-one with a guy, he's just a quiet, mild-natured guy. So I know for a fact that he looked at last year, and he's going to have to. He needs it. He wants it. He wants it bad. And I heard an interview today, and just even the way he's talking to reporters, it just seems like a different Mike. I'm with you. I want to see a rebound. You know, he's too good a kid, and he's been through some ups and downs, and you know, we all have. But I want to see him bounce back too.
Peter Moreland joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, former Braves reliever, now current Braves analyst for Fox Sports South. All right, I'm going to make you be a manager right now, so you got to get your Connie Mack suit on and your straw hat, and we're going to make you a throwback and put you in a managerial outfit. You know, in a 60-game season where you've only got 37% of the schedule, how are some of the subtle things that you think a manager has to approach, you know, the way that they handle this season? You know, what are some things maybe that you think about and say, you got to do this maybe a little bit differently than maybe over 162 games?
Yeah, it's a few things for me. It's not only the shorter season, it's the shorter prep, as far as the unusual prep, and it's sort of, you're in off-season mode, and then all of a sudden, bang, it was, okay, we've got to go straight to spring training. You didn't have a date, a definitive date, and guys were just sort of working out like it was the off-season, and some guys weren't working out. So I think as a manager, you got to read those guys now and see who has been putting the work in, because the other guys are injury risk. And I know you've got a pool of 60 to choose from, but your starters aren't going to be going the regular amount of innings. Position play, someone's going to get hurt. It's a matter of who and how you can handle it and who you've got to back it up. Someone may catch the virus, that's the other thing. How do you manage the bullpen early? Who do you bring on early? You've got 30 guys to choose from early on. You've got 28 in 2 weeks, I think it is, and then a month in, I think it goes to 26. You know, all these rules, there's a 100-page booklet of new rules. So as a manager, I don't envy Snit at all. These new rules are going to be hard enough. The one that was going to crush me, and I wouldn't have even had a career, would be the 3-batter minimum. That's going to be really interesting to see how that one goes. And the DH in the National League. I mean, where do you want me to start? There's so much that's going to happen this year. I think it's going to be fun. I think why not try some different things this year? It's already completely off the wall as it is. So I figure try some new things. You know, you got runners starting at second base in extra inning games, which we've played that way in international baseball for a few years. And it's great as far as tournament play goes and being able to save your pitching. It's going to work the same way with a longer season, obviously. But, I'm excited to see how this plays out, albeit short, but I think it's going to be sweet.
You know, Peter, I'm just a ham and egger who talks on a microphone at night and pontificates about things. But one of the things for me that I would really like to see the Braves do, and in a shortened season when – you know, you're going to have pitchers and catchers that maybe aren't completely connected and things like that. I'd like to see the Braves take more advantage of their speed. And you know, we obviously know about Ronald Acuna, but, you know, I think they have some sneaky guys. I mean, obviously, NCR, they can steal a base at times. I think Ozzie's got more potential. I think Dansby Swanson is a better base runner than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
React to that. I think the Braves' speed is one of the things that I'd like to see them take advantage of, especially early on as guys are trying to get into some rhythm. Take advantage of some of those situations.
Yeah, I did read somewhere that they were expecting the small ball to come back because you've only got 60 games. It's not like you can play it out over the course of the season. I want to see that come back. I enjoyed watching that. And when I was in Europe last year, that's the way they played it. They played old school. They're always bunting and hitting and running. So I think we'll see that a lot. The Braves were known as a good base running team, not necessarily a fast team, but a really good base running team because of the work of EY. EY's not going to be there this year. Do I think that's going to affect the base running? Maybe, yeah. But I do think that they can take advantage of the top three or four guys in the lineup. And putting my manager hat on again, I don't know where. I think it's going to be NCRT, Albies, Acuna again, but the four hole, maybe Ozuna. We'll see, but the loss of Freeman's going to be big too. We haven't even talked about that yet, but you know, he's got his speed too. He's one of the fastest guys on the team, he'll tell you.
Peter Moreland joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, former Braves reliever. Now you see him on Fox Sports South talking Braves baseball, spending some time here on the WadeFord.com hotline with us. Peter, you know, Marcelo Ozuna is a guy coming over, big shoes to fill in what Josh Donaldson did last year. You know, it seems like he's in a very inevitable position. I mean, he's obviously not had a chance to spend as much time with this team. You know, they never really got going into a regular season, so it's just a minimal amount of spring training. Obviously, he's trying to recapture some of his magic from years past. You know, he's had some injury issues and things like that. Is he really one of the maybe X factors of this team that, you know, let's assume Freddie Freeman at some point, even if it's not the start of the season, does come back and you slide him back in that three hole. But it's going to be important for somebody to protect Freddie, and I wonder if he's not one of the big X factors going into this year.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. They signed him to do what Josh Donaldson did last year, so I know that's what the Braves are hoping that he can do. He was a weapon when he was in Miami, and he was good in St. Louis too. From what I understand, his hard hit rate, and now I'm going to bring back a new stat, but his hard hit rate, this is the one that makes sense to me. If you hit the ball hard, then I feel like you're doing something right in the batter's box. But his hard hit rate last year was as good as anyone. So he is squaring up the ball. It's just a matter of, you know, finding some holes, and that protection for Freddie will be there. I've had to face him a few times, and I know he can be an absolute weapon in that box too. So, man, I'm excited for this season if we can get this thing going. It's been too long.
Peter, just about less than a minute left here with you. Sure. Help me understand, let's say we've got Fried, Fulte, Soroka, Cole Hamels. What do we look like from there as far as starting pitching goes, do you think?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I honestly could not even tell you. With the squad of 60 and so much happening I honestly couldn't tell you. I wish I could. I think those top four guys are really good. I will say that I think we'll see more than just five. I think it'll be six and seven starters used, especially early on, in almost like a piggyback style where one guy will go three innings and another starter will come in and go three innings. I wouldn't be surprised to see that early on. But as far as Kyle Wright would be a name that I'd throw out there. Tukey, if Tukey can get healthy, I mean, there's just so many factors, but there's so many arms. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good thing.
Do you think that they are really hoping that Sean Newcomb tries to grab hold of one of those spots?
I do, and I think there was enough seen from him out of the bullpen that I feel like he can do it again. The thing with Nuke, and this is as honest as I can be, he's just got to be able to control the third pitch. If he can get control of that curveball and throw it where he doesn't spin it out of the zone like he's got a tendency to do, I think he could be really effective.
Follow him on Twitter. It's at Peter Moylan, of course, former Braves reliever. Now hear him and see him on Fox Sports South covering the Braves. As you know, hopefully here in just a few weeks we'll be getting things cranked up. Peter Moylan, join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Peter, really good stuff. Appreciate it, buddy. Be safe. Be well. You know, enjoy this kind of ramp up, and you know, hopefully we'll talk here again soon about some real on-field action.
Yeah, let's do it. Look forward to it.
You got it. John Chuckery here. When we get back, take away Freddie, take away Ronnie. Who's the three most important Braves after that? We'll discuss. We'll break it down. We'll go hot takey. Hell, we'll do something. John Chuckery Show, Thursday night, Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you here on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out on this Thursday evening with you. 404-741-0929, that's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Be sure to leave us a comment and respond to anything that we've talked about here on the show there tonight. Download the radio.com app. Make sure you've got that on one of your devices to be able to listen to the radio station outside of your vehicle. Social media, 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. So, talk to Peter Moylan in the last segment. We'll replay that at 940 for you coming up tonight for those folks that didn't catch it early on. You know, I was thinking today about, you know, of course, obviously Freddie Freeman not part of this group right now, still, you know, recovering in the middle, really. I mean, probably just really even starting to recover from the COVID-19 disease. And, you know, no real timetable and timeline about when he's going to be back. And we know, obviously, his value. You know, it's, you know, I compare it the same way as I do the Falcons, okay? Julio Jones is the best player on the Falcons, but Matt Ryan is the most important player on the Atlanta Falcons. It's the same thing with the Braves. Ronald Acuna Jr. is the best player on the Atlanta Braves. Freddie Freeman's the most important player on the Atlanta Braves. He's the heart and soul veteran glue guy that, you know, hits in, you know, what is, you know, supposed to be the glamour spot. You know, if there's a quarterback spot in a major league lineup, it's hitting third in the order. So, you know, with that, if we take away Ronnie and we take away Freddie, take those two guys out. We know that that's the two alpha males of this Braves team. Take those two guys out of your team, Braves would never win anything, you know, out there. But as this roster has changed around, changes at catcher, changes at third, changes in left, changes that you're going to have a DH, changes in right field, obviously, because the guy who's been there the last few years is not going to be playing this year. Changes in the starting rotation. Lots of change. Changes in the bullpen. Change. Okay? All the way around. So the question I ask is, who are the three most important Atlanta Braves once you get past Ronald and once you get past Freddie? Okay? For me, and this is obviously with the idea of, okay, who are the three most important guys if the Braves are going to try to win the division, win the World Series, this, that, and the other, okay? For me, number one, Mike Soroka. We talked about with Peter Moylan the way Soroka looks, acting like an ace, being an ace pitcher for this team. For a team that is looking for that, you know, next superstar to lock down being, you know, their ace for the next 6, 7, 8 years or whatever, you know, for a team that's been looking for that since, you know, the holy trio of the Hall of Famers, you know, Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddux. Soroka, you know, last year really took his game to another level, obviously in his full rookie season. You know, third overall in the National League in ERA. I think it was first in ERA plus last year. At times didn't get enough help offensively. The one-loss record could have probably been better. Sometimes his bullpen didn't help him out as well. Of course, you know, last season, a year in which innings limitations, load management, things like that really came into play for him. And you know, I've said very clearly, I think he got the shaft not being the game one starter. You know, I'm somebody who believes that take your best pitcher and pitch him. When you get to the playoffs and you don't have time to mess around, oh yeah, in those 5-game series that are over in the blink of an eye and you don't have time to mess around, pitch your best guys. And I don't think he got that opportunity last year to do that. So this year, you know, I've said that if you're going to get to that next level, you need to have one of those guys that can lead you there. It's not, you know, random happenstance that the Washington Nationals get where they are because they have, you know, Strasburg and Max Scherzer. You know, he's one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. Or when the Astros are winning it, you know, and having Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole at the top of their rotation. Or the L.A. Dodgers are getting there because they have Clayton Kershaw or, you know, Ryu or Walker Buehler. You got to have one of those kinds of studs. You know, the Red Sox, you know, bringing Chris Sale over. There's a reason why they gave up the number one prospect in Major League Baseball at the time to bring in Chris Sale and his 300 strikeouts. And they go on to win a World Series for it. It's not just random luck and coincidence that happens. Or take John Lester for the Cubs, you know, when they win the World Series. You need to have that dude that every fifth day you feel like, okay, no matter what else is going on, no matter how crappy things may be, we get out here, this guy is going to make sure we've got a chance to win today. And I think that's what Mike Soroka does. And, you know, I'm looking forward to what Mike Soroka brings, you know, even in a shortened season. You know, how many starts can he squeeze out? Can he squeeze out 10 starts, 11 starts in a 60-game season? You know, hopefully. I mean, I think you'd like to see him. You don't have an innings limitation, okay? And obviously, you know, at the very start of the year, because of this condensed offseason, no one's expecting 6-7 innings from Mike Soroka coming out in his first couple of starts or what have you. But he does have to, you know, you do need him to get figured out pretty quickly. And two is, once he starts getting full bore, you don't hold him back. You don't worry about load management, workloads, innings limitations, all these malarkey stats that don't mean a thing. Pitch a young guy. He's 20-some-odd years old.
Well, he could get, you know, Tommy John, all that.
They all get Tommy John. Who doesn't get Tommy? If you don't get Tommy John, you ain't pitching. Who doesn't get Tommy John? You can't pitch like that. Ask the Nationals how that worked out.
Oh, we better save Strasburg.
Okay. We saved him to the tune of, you know, you had a really good team that year. That team was better than the one that won the World Series last year, by the way. That team where Bryce was, what, the MVP of the league that year? They had a better team. So let him go. You know, I think he's got the ability to be that ace at the top of the rotation. Second, Marcell Ozuna. And I really do think he's the big X factor of this team. Somebody has to protect Freddie Freeman. Because if Marcell Ozuna can't produce in the cleanup spot, Freddie Freeman's not going to get his opportunity. Freddie Freeman may stand on first base a lot because he'll see walks. But if Marcell Ozuna, let's say he doesn't perform very well, why would you pitch to Freddie Freeman? You know those first two guys are going to find their way around on base, running around, doing all their stuff. Why would you pitch to Freddie Freeman, who hits everybody and everything everywhere at all times? Why would you pitch to him? If you do, you should be fired as a manager. I always said that about Barry Bonds. If you're a manager and you let Barry Bonds beat you, then you deserve to be fired. You shouldn't be in baseball. If you can't understand very simply who you don't let beat you in a major league lineup, then you shouldn't be managing. You should hire me, because I know who the hell's not going to beat me on this given day. I'm not letting Freddie Freeman run wild because I can't, because, you know, I'm not intelligent enough to pitch around him. No. So they need Marcell Ozuna to come, and especially if Marcelo's, by the way, that if Freddie Freeman isn't in the lineup, you're going to need that run producer. You need a guy in the middle of that order to knock those guys in. You know, it's great to run around from first to second to third, but still, I know this is crazy for a lot of people. You know, the goal of baseball is to touch home plate safely, not get on first and second and third. That's like the playoff thing.
Well, you got to get in the playoffs to win it. Well, you got to get on first to score.
Okay, we all understand that. That's basic. But the goal is not to sit out there and run around on the bases and then, you know, walk into the dugout after out number three and you didn't touch home plate safely. That's the goal of it all. You need a guy who can drive in runs. You need a guy who can produce in the middle of this lineup for it. And third for me is Ozzie Albies. And I think he's probably the next best player behind Freddie and Ronald Acuna Jr. And you guys know how I feel about, and gals, you know how I feel about Ozzie Albies. You know, Freddie Freeman is no longer the most underrated player in baseball. If you're still saying that, then you're way behind the times. Then you're out of the loop on things. The most underrated player in baseball is the guy who stands about, what, 50 feet to the right of him? That's who's the most underrated player in baseball, is that guy. He's a guy that has been asked to hit all over. And listen, if Freddie Freeman's not in the lineup to start, he may be your leadoff hitter. He may still stay in the two hole and they put Ender at the top of the lineup. I don't know. Snitker's going to put something together if it's not available, because I think you have to drop Ronald Acuna down to third if you don't have Freddie Freeman. Because who's going to hit in that spot? You going to put Marcell Ozuna in third? He's not a complete enough hitter to hit that spot. And you don't have a great backup plan behind him. So, Ozzie's a guy who, by the way, too, adding his speed and adding his defense. You want to talk about a guy who's rounding himself into one of the more complete players in baseball. You know, I would love to see Ozzie get let loose a little bit on the bases. You know, and let him really push the issue on in the bases stealing. You know, we know he's becoming a very good defensive second baseman as well. Starting to show some of that pop, which is crazy to think about a guy who had virtually no pop in minor league baseball. I mean, next to nothing. You know, he's like Francisco Lindor. Go look at Lindor in the minors. Lindor in the minors had no pop. Francisco Lindor for the Indians, he made his name off being the best defensive shortstop prospect in all of baseball. He was a dominant defensive player coming up through the minors. You know who else was a really, really building his name on great defense coming up through the minors? Camargo was another guy. You know, a lot of people didn't expect him to have a big offensive punch, but he was such a good defensive player coming up. He comes up, gets a full season in, what, 17 homers and 80 RBIs or something like that, or 19 homers, whatever it was, 17, 19 homers. He's got to come out of nowhere. So Ozzie's really, you know, and obviously as he continues to physically mature and his body rounds into form, there's no reason to think that there should be any kind of drop-off. And look, who knows? Maybe he gets a shot to hit third if Freddie Freeman isn't there. You know, I've said before, You know, you could, if you could realistically hit him fourth or fifth, and he could be a 100 RBI guy. He's got the ability to not just with his power, but with his ability to drive the ball all over the field. He's got the ability. He could be a 100 RBI guy. Hell, he drove in 70-some-odd runs and hit mostly at the top of the order this past year. Soroka, Ozuna, Ozzie. That's my three. And you can leave us yours on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well. But when we get back from the top of the hour, the Big Ten made a big announcement today. What does that mean? More than the Ivy League, what does that mean for the rest of college football? And who's the big loser in all of this? I'll explain. This is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on your radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.